It's been 6 years since Superstorm Sandy led to the worst flooding New York City has ever seen. Storm surges and flooding have been on the rise globally, due in part to the rapid melting of ice sheets in Antarctica and Greenland. Yesterday on the show, we followed reporter Janet Babin as she headed from New York, where she lives, to Greenland to try and get a firsthand look at what's going on there. Today, we rejoin her on the edge of an ice sheet.
Morning, Allison.
Jason Briner is sitting on a fold-up chair in a tent in southwestern Greenland.
All right. Oats.
Briner's with the Paleoclimate Lab at the University at Buffalo, and he and his three colleagues and I are having breakfast after a cold first night camping about a mile from the second largest ice sheet in the world. After coffee, we do a satellite phone check-in with the federal contractors who are giving us logistical support.
Hi, good morning, Robin. How are you? Oh, yesterday was a good day.
This is the firm that sent me prep sheets for this trip with advice like, an agitated muskox will sway its head from side to side. Steer clear. And if an Arctic fox attacks, fight back and defend yourself. That's why I bought my first ever Swiss Army knife, which everyone on this trip really does carry around in their pockets.
All right. It's time.
It is time for my first expedition collecting rock and lake sediment samples with the team. We head out of the tent and into the wind. The researchers need these bits of Greenland to help improve our understanding of how the ice sheet here has changed over time and where it might be headed as the world quickly warms up. That's crucial because there's a huge amount of ice in Greenland, enough to raise global sea levels by around 25 feet if it all melted. How much and how fast it will melt is a gigantic question mark. And it's taken on even more urgency after a recent discovery. Not long ago, scientists thought the ice sheet here had stayed more or less intact over the last few million years. They thought it grew and shrank through cool and warm periods, but that overall, Greenland stayed locked up in a huge block of ice. But a couple of years ago, Briner and some colleagues published new research that points to a very different conclusion.
I was really surprised, but the data are hard to refute.
The data come from new measurements of some old bedrock collected 25 years ago beneath the thickest part of the ice sheet. The team used improved technology to analyze the rock. They isolated grains of quartz, and they found some unexpected isotopes, tiny variations in the elements that make up the rock.
And the only way those isotopes can get there is if the ice sheet has completely disappeared and exposed that bedrock site.
Exposed it to cosmic rays from space. Cosmic rays that don't penetrate ice very well. That voice, by the way, that's Nicholas Young, with the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbia University and a co-leader on this trip. He collaborated with Briner and others on that research.
And so based on these measurements, we thought that it was extremely likely that the ice sheet disappeared at least once, if not more times, during the past few million years.
In other words, all this ice seems to have melted before, during warm periods not unlike the one we're already heading into. This conclusion challenges what we thought we knew about the history of Greenland. It also suggests something else, that computer models showing that the ice sheet won't completely melt in the future could be wrong. That is a very scary thought. But it resonates with what some other scientists are seeing, too. They say that Greenland's changing very quickly these days, Antarctica, too, and sometimes in ways they hadn't expected.
And so now the concern is, are we reaching some threshold in our climate system where we've triggered that runaway melt and runaway ice sheet demise?
It's the big question, but the answer remains unclear. Among other things, scientists are pretty sure that the last time the Earth was just a bit warmer than it is today, Greenland's ice sheet did not melt away. So what gives? We still just don't know. That's why these guys are here. The more samples we can collect this week, the more data there will be to help understand Greenland's past and perhaps get a clearer view of our future. With supplies in our packs, we trudge over lichen-covered boulders, up and down the treeless hills. Suddenly, there it is, just sitting on the open ground, a geologist's dream of a rock sample, I'm told. Lots of that key mineral quartz that they're all looking for. Clean and easy to get. Young hops onto the 10-foot-tall boulder as PhD student Brandon Graham hands him an electric saw.
Are you doing two parallel lines?
I'm going to start with a single cut and see where we get.
Young rough cuts a section, then delicately coaxes off a slim layer with a hammer and chisel. The sample is labeled and stashed in Young's pack. And we head off in search of the next big rock. This goes on well past lunchtime, as far as I can tell. But we're nowhere near done, and no one else appears tired. Just me. And we also have to collect sediment samples from the bottom of a glacial lake. Briner says they're another piece of the ice sheet puzzle.
The layers of mud that accumulate in lake bottoms, we can read as pages in a book almost. It's a library of information.
The mud contains silt and organic matter that holds clues to things like temperature and vegetation going back thousands of years. The team brought along a motorized raft. The water is turquoise and frigid. When I dip my hand in, it comes out nearly numb. We anchor in the deepest part of the lake. Briner and Young stand in the wind near the center of the platform.
We're ready to go down.
Okay.
I'll put it down.
They push the 10-foot plastic tube into the bottom of the lake. And I try not to think about what would happen if I fell off this flimsy sheath we're all standing on. When they pull up the tube, it's filled with layers of gray muck.
What was it, 12-something?
That's healthy.
It's a good core.
The tube is unwieldy, though, and when Briner tries to measure how much silt it collected, the tape measure he's using keeps slipping, and we realize it's broken.
Hair tie or something for this?
Are you serious? Do you need a hair tie?
If you have a bunch, you can start.
I do.
Yes, hair tie to the rescue. I have officially earned my keep on this expedition. We head back to camp. I'm exhausted, but elated. I've somehow managed to do my small part for climate change science. 5 more days out here before I head back home to New York and the water that's slowly rising around the city. For the world, Janet Babin, Southwest Greenland.
Janet continues her Greenland excursion tomorrow. Her reporting on the story was supported by the National Science Foundation, the New York Air National Guard, and the Institute for Journalism and Natural Resources.